Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
By St. Mary's Medical Group. He's Logan. I'm Dave. Merry Christmas. And happy Boxing Day.
That's right. Happy Boxing Day to you too, Dave.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You're welcome.
Don't know what it means, but I appreciate it.
It means Thomas Hitman Hearns and Marvin Hagler going at it.
So there is no, like, heavyweight bout in Vegas tonight?
I don't know.
That we know of.
That we know of. I hadn't checked.
But that's not what Boxing Day means.
No, apparently not.
I'll allow it.
Yep.
It means a lot of soccer.
I didn't know that until you said it. Mm-hmm. Bill Shanks is waiting to start talking. And you know what? That's a good thing.
Whenever you're ready, Bill.
Hey, Bill, how are you this morning? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys. Hope you had a great day. Good morning. How are y'all?
Yeah, it's weird. Now, are you in Macon or are you farther south?
I am in Macon.
Okay.
And I'm coming to you on a new phone for Christmas, so I hope it'll sound good.
Sound great.
Same old line, but new phone, so hopefully it'll sound good. And it's almost like I've got a mail order bride for Christmas because I had some woman named Alexa remind me at 9 o'clock that I was going on the morning show with David and Logan. I actually turned y'all on with Alexa earlier this morning. I said, turn on 960 The Ref. I remember the promo, but then I fell back asleep. But no, don't take offense to that.
That's why we love you, Bill, because you gave us some numbers, but you still fell asleep.
We do
there
appreciate it. Every time I tell Alexa to turn on 960 The Ref, she does it.
Yeah, she does
She's
what I
She's a good
her.
Lady. She is.
Yeah, I asked her all kind of questions last night to check her out. It was pretty interesting, but she wouldn't tell me what she was wearing.
No, she doesn't like this. There are certain questions you ask Alexa, she'll shut you down very quick, Bill. Just be prepared
for that. I may get one for our studio because God knows at my age, and y'all are probably the same way, there are things I'll think about, and I'm like, what's that? And then I'll have to have my producer. Well, that may make my producer obsolete. I may not need him anymore. Well, I may see if Alexa, can you run a board?
No. Yeah. Probably can. Wouldn't put it past her at all.
And she just said, I don't know that when I asked that question. I forgot she could hear me, so
yeah,
I shouldn't have
said. always listening.
Yeah, she is.
Well, the reason I asked you where you were is it's just it was weird because Christmas Eve was very warm here, and you've lived in South and Central Georgia your entire life, so I guess you're used to the warm Christmases.
Oh, yeah, used to that. And, you know, 30 years ago, this week was the anniversary of when in 1989 we had snow in Waycross for Christmas, and I'll never forget that, waking up and opening the shutters as they were and seeing the white outside. It was crazy, and it was still white on Christmas Day, so we actually had a white Christmas. But yeah, it was 30 years ago. But yeah, I'm used to the warmth, and it was beautiful yesterday, and I think I saw 70 here in Macon again today, so I'll take it. I was wearing shorts yesterday. Anytime I can wear shorts, I'm good.
No complaints, for sure.
I was in Athens the other day real quick, and I had to run to Athens. I almost called you, Dave, just to say hello. I didn't get a Christmas present in time in Macon, and I had to run to the Barnes & Noble in Athens, and Waze took me for some reason on Old Bishop Road, and I almost wound up in Greenville, South Carolina for some reason.
Whoops.
But I finally did get to the Barnes & Noble. When the heck did a million people move to Athens to have that traffic out there on the Atlanta Highway? My gosh, almighty knows, that was awful.
What day were you there?
I was there on Monday at about 3:30.
It was
awful.
Oh, that's weird. And I live like 1 minute from there. So,
oh, really?
The traffic out there, yeah. God, I would have run up there for you and got what you needed. You could have just met me somewhere instead of having to go up there.
It was awful. And, yeah, I tried to see if anybody that I knew who had kids in Athens or were there or coming to Macon, but I didn't mind. It was okay. It was a nice drive and listened to Jeff leaving town. But it was, I mean, my gosh, I had no clue. I mean, you know, when you haven't lived in Athens for 27 years, you kind of forget things have changed a little bit out there. But it was 2 days before Christmas, so I shouldn't have been surprised, but still the traffic out there was brutal.
Oh yeah, well I'm glad you made it through, and I'm glad you got what you needed. Next time though, give me a heads up, I'll run up there for you.
Yeah, I should have, but it was my fault. It was a book that my mom wanted for Christmas, and I'm like, well, I better go get it. So I just took off and went and got it and everything. But anyway, it was fine.
Well, Bill, let me ask you this: it's gonna be it's gonna be weird. It's gonna be a new opening day starter for the Braves next year. We know Mr. Tehran is now with the Angels, and I did see Dallas Keuchel got a nice fat contract, right, with the
mm-hmm.
White Sox. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Nice deal.
So, not that we didn't know any of this, that these guys weren't going to be in the rotation next year, but it just to me, it kind of sets in a little bit when you actually see them put pen to paper and all that kind of stuff. Do the Braves get anything out of that, either of those signings?
No.
Okay.
I don't think they do, because they didn't offer, or Tehran was a non-tender,
right,
and
right.
Keuchel, they did not offer him the qualifying offer, so no, they do not.
Do you do you have any more feelings on what's going on with Josh Donaldson than the last time we talked to you?
Well, not really, and I think we're all still. I think the whole game is the whole sport's waiting on Josh Donaldson. I think he's the next one, right? He just seems like he's the next free agent to fall, and he's the biggest name still out there, and. You know, I still believe he prefers to come back to Atlanta. I don't, because here's the thinking on this, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong. But if he's got 4-year offers on the table from Washington supposedly, and maybe even Minnesota, and that's what he's wanting, he's either not signing because the money's not what he wants it to be, which I think he wants it to be $100 million or more. Or he just wants to come back to Atlanta, and he's waiting on the Braves to blink and hoping they'll blink. And I mean, that may be very failed logic in thinking about that, but I don't know why it would be taking this long if he's gotten the fourth year offer that he wants. So I just feel like we'll hear it any day that he's going to sign and make a decision here. But the Braves, from what I've been told, are just not comfortable going in that fourth year. So if he's waiting to come back to Atlanta and waiting for them to do that, I mean, they've either got to blink and do it, or he's got to decide to go play in Minnesota or Washington. And sure, they probably don't want him to go play to Washington, but, you know, do you want to do something that you're not comfortable with? And it's not an easy decision, but. If it's not as bad of a decision if he goes to Minnesota, who cares as much, you know, but if he's going to go to Washington, he could hurt you a little bit. So I think that's what we're waiting on.
Well, you know, we saw this past season, I guess, with Keuchel and with Kimbrel, these guys not starting the season, but then, you know, they end up getting signed. Is that what we're going to see again this season with some players, or is that just were they just circumstantial guys as to what happened with them?
You know, I think most of the major players have signed. You've got Josh Donaldson. You've got Marcell Ozuna. I'm trying to think of some of the even bigger names. Nick Castellanos is not signed yet. But there are probably less than 10, maybe even less than 5 players that you would consider major free agents that have not signed at this point. I mean, it's been a much different offseason, of course, compared to last year, where Harper and Machado did not sign until, what, February?
Yeah.
So I think it's been a little bit different this year for whatever reason. I think it helped to be honest with you, I think it helped for the Atlanta Braves to kind of kick it off early with Will Smith. And I mean, that didn't happen last year where you saw a team go sign a relief pitcher for that much money that early in the process. Well, I mean, I guess the Braves signed Donaldson. That was for a one-year deal, but you just didn't see very many multi-year deals signed early last year. But, I doubt we'll see there'll probably be some still lingering free agents when even spring training starts, but I don't think we'll see the major free agents at all. I think they'll all be done here in the next couple of weeks.
Talking with our man Bill Shanks.
As like Dave alluded to, now that Tehran will be out in California, Madison Bumgarner in Arizona, are the Braves just going to have to be content with the pitching staff they have now that there are no, I guess, big names to go after there? What is the Braves' plan in terms of starting pitching? Are they done with that right now?
Well, I guess, Logan, they've got to address the bat situation first, cleanup hitter first. And I don't think there are very many great starting pitchers left on the market. We're talking about Homer Bailey types that are still left, to be honest with you, and that's not going to make anybody excited.
Right.
I think they could still trade for a starting pitcher. I don't think that's out of the question. I don't know. There have been a couple that have already been traded. Corey Kluber got traded, and a few, but there may be a few others out there that could be dealt. But I don't see a free agent pitcher coming unless it's one of those Homer Bailey, Jimmy Nelson, injured players trying to get back on track. Which I'm not against that, but that's not going to win you a World Series necessarily. I mean, I love Cole Hamels. I don't want for this to sound like I'm not excited about Cole Hamels. I just don't think it's enough. The bat is definitely something that they need with if Donaldson does leave, or if Donaldson comes back. I mean, that's obviously they feel that role. But if they address that, I still think they need help in that rotation. You're going to be banking on Sean Newcomb to come back and be a real legitimate starting pitcher. You know, my biggest fear has been Mike Foltynewicz. You're not going to believe what I did the other day. I was kind of bored and wanted to watch baseball. I went back and watched that first inning of Game 5.
Come on, Bill.
I know.
Why?
I know. And I did it because I wanted to watch a little baseball. I'm like, I want to watch that first inning again. I've watched up until Folty got taken out. And, it was 4-0. The bases were loaded, and then Max Fried came in, and then a couple more hits, obviously. And I don't even know what, 10-0, I guess, at the end of the inning. But Folty, you can't blame Folty completely, obviously, for that inning. Freddie made a horrible error.
There was a horrible error by Freddie. But the pitcher still got, that's the thing. But I'm sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
What you're saying is exactly right. You still have to work out the inning. I don't blame him as much as I maybe had. And I knew Freddie had made the error. But when you go back and watch that inning, even on the first batter, who was Dexter Fowler, McCann dropped a foul tip that should have been caught.
Yep.
I guarantee you McCann would tell you right now that he should have caught the ball, and that would have been the first out. He made some good pitches. He when he felt it crumbling around after him, then he walked the guy with the bases loaded to let in a run. Then that Edelman or whatever had the hit to score two runs. It just got away from him. But that's Folty's problem. But I think we should feel that the game two is a lot more of a reflection on what he can do compared to game five. But he's my worry. I don't worry about Soroka. I don't really worry about Fried. I don't know if Max is going to go 17-6 again this year, because that's asking a lot. But if he can be a 30 starter guy who has an ERA of 4 or below, then we'll be okay with him in that role. because you can't predict records. I love the projection of records. It's like, okay, you people say that records don't matter for a starting pitcher, and then you go and project them. That's really good. But you know, and I like Hamels a great deal, but I you know, Folty's the wild card, right? That's the question. It's like, which Folty can we have for 30 starts or more to know what kind of pitcher he'll be and then what he will be in a playoff series? That's the biggest question. If we knew the answer to that, we may not have the concern about the rotation being rounded out. But, I mean, I think Newcomb can be a good middle-of-the-rotation guy. It'd be great if Newcomb could emerge and become even more, but we can't count on that right now for this team. So Folty continues to kind of be the wild card.
Talking with Bill Shanks as we – I don't know, where – is this the hot stove league? I guess it is. But it's also college bowl season. And I wanted to switch gears a little bit to Georgia. And we had Chip Towers on our – oh, no, I wanted one more baseball note. This is a non-Braves note, but I wanted to bring this up with you because you'll appreciate this. Today is Mario Mendoza's 69th birthday.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
He is
awesome.
In the Mexican Baseball Hall of Fame, in case you were wondering.
And once again, I just visualized my 1978 Topps card of Mario Mendoza when you said that.
That's right.
Only because there are no highlights of his career in video that I would have remembered because he was awful.
But he's in the Mexican Hall of Fame.
I know. How do you explain that?
Well, I mean, you know, longevity will get you in some places.
And before we move on, the Mendoza line usually refers to someone who's hitting 200 or below or above. He was actually a 215 hitter, so he doesn't get a lot of credit. So I just wanted you to know that, too.
Can we rename that the Ugla line?
Well, I said to Logan, it was funny. I go, Logan, when you think of, like, 300, who's the first person that comes to your mind? And he goes, Chipper. And we looked it up, and Chipper's lifetime average was 303.
303, yeah.
So that's actually, yeah, right there on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll have to go find out, if you know, how many people that have played baseball and played a certain number of games in their career hit right around 200. Because I think Mario Mendoza being at 215, just not doing the guy any justice.
Sound like a Dave McMahon question there, Dave.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
yes, it does.
Right,
yes, it does. All right, so from 1 to 10, your level of excitement. I know there's always level of excitement of a 10 for Georgia football. I guess what I'm saying is, even though there's the disappointment of not winning the SEC championship and not being in the college football playoff, there's a lot of kind of things floating around under the surface that might be really, really positive for Georgia on a recruiting kind of angle thing. So with that being said, what is your, you know, just your, I don't know, excitement level heading into the bowl game, and then, you know, what could possibly be learned from, I guess, the Under Armour game the next day?
Yeah, I think I'm more excited about that, to be honest with you. I think my excitement level for the game will be a 7, just because it will be a Georgia football game, and you always want to watch a Georgia football game. But I'm really anxious to see how this class winds up. And you know what, I'm sure that Kirby is continuing to remind these players about what happened last year, and we can't have a repeat of that, and there's no way you can do that. But I really hope these players who get the opportunity will want to make a statement for themselves personally. I mean, I don't know how. I was saying the other day on our show that are the bowl games that don't matter the first thing that will allow compensation for players that could inspire them to try, and give them a reason to want to play and give them a reason to compete and to give a damn, because I don't know if players in the last couple of years have had that same approach. And I'm not just talking about last year Georgia-Texas, but a lot of these games, it's like they're just showing up and it's an exhibition and it doesn't matter. And I hope the Georgia players will take it upon themselves to care and to want to show out and do better than they did last year and to play a good Baylor team. But I want to tell you, my God, I mean, after – you know, when that those rumors started last Friday, and I asked you about it, Dave, because I wondered what you were hearing, and asked all the guys that are on our show and your show and everything about what they were hearing. I mean, the thought of what Georgia could finish with this recruiting class is just unbelievable. That, you know, four more five-star players could come on this list and just make it an unreal class. So, I think I'm as much excited about that as the bowl game itself.
And rightfully so, because you're talking about suddenly being maybe the number one or number two recruiting class in the country.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Georgia loses to Baylor, a lot of those wounds will be sealed very quickly when five stars start to drop the next couple of days, and it's looking like forecast-wise that's probably going to be the case.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we'd like to just win the Sugar Bowl and have a big, happy week for everybody, but
right.
Either way, it could very well finish a pretty good week for the Dogs.
Well, there's not a sting with a bowl loss like there used to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not. It's
I
not.
Agree.
I mean, it doesn't define your season. And years ago, you know, you would have a bowl loss, and it would just. I mean, think about that UCF loss in what 2009 or 10 or whatever it was. I mean, my God, that I don't think I'm still over that a decade later. You know, but it's just not the same anymore. If Zachary Evans and you know I'm not going to count on Birch. I think that would be unbelievable if they were able to swing that, but that doesn't sound like that's as possible. But Washington and I mean I think Ringo's there and I think Washington perhaps could be already there, and you know, but they've got to get Broderick Jones and Zachary Evans. I mean, but if you got those four, if you got Ringo, Jones, Washington, and Evans, and four more five-star players, and then the Van Pran kid who's a four-star. I mean, Logan, I don't know if any of the services would not have Georgia number one based on points with that many five-star players joining up. I think it'd be hard.
If all those dominoes landed that you just said, I think by a slim margin, Georgia would be number one. The thing about the top heavy, the Clemsons, who else is up at the top right now? The Ohio States, the LSUs, they don't have any room left to add more right now. So they're pretty much full. So Georgia's the team out there that what do we have right now? Is it 19 signees or 18 signees? Whatever it is, there's room to obviously make some major jumps there. So it's sounding like, and I'm with you, I look at our, you know, Jeff Sintels, the guys that work with us that cover this stuff, and they seem to think that Georgia's in for one heck of a week coming up recruiting-wise, and it would certainly be a nice cap to a frustrating season, if you even want to call it that. 11-1, a loss in the SEC championship game, but there is a sour taste around Bulldog Nation right now, and I think five stars are a quick way to heal that.
Well, and I think it continues to reiterate the situation that we have at hand right now for this program, and that is that the coaching staff and Kirby Smart continue to bring in elite-level talent that on paper gives this program the chance to continue to be in the mix at the top each and every year. And that's all you can ask for. I mean, we know it's got to get over the hump. We know it's been 39 damn years. We know all of the particulars that are thrown up to us by others on a regular basis, and so there's recognition of that. But it the only way for them to stay in that conversation is to continue to get talent at this level. You can, you know, people can scoff at recruiting rankings, and they can say, well, Georgia always wins in February, but not in January, with, you know, and have that little line. But the first thing you've got to have great talent. You've got to. I mean, recruiting does matter. And it does give you the chance to have. I mean, you've got to develop them. You've got to have good coaches to do that. You've got to make good decisions when you play good games. You've got to have a little bit of luck. You've got to have players emerge. You've got to do things that put you in position like Georgia was 2 years ago when they were an eyelash away from national championship. But, you know, you've got to have a big a big special teams play by Tay Crowder before halftime, for crying out loud. I mean, you've got to have things like that happen. But if you don't have talent, you forget about it. That's the first thing you've got to check off. And so for them to have four more five-star players and another four-star player to add to the list they've got, it's going to give this program in the next 3 to 4 years the chance to have that same mix and that same ability to be there. And you know, we're all waiting for it to happen. We know that we're in that mode where we're anxious. We're kind of kids in the back seat of the station wagon, wondering when we're going to get to Disney World. When are we going to get there, Mom and Dad? When are we going to get there? When are we going to have that national championship? But if you don't have talent like what's coming in the next couple of weeks and what's on that list already, you don't have much of a chance. And you know, Vanderbilt and Kentucky aren't winning national championships. Teams like Georgia are, and that's what we've got to hope for if this talent rounds out this class.
You'll both agree with this, what I'm about to say, as far as Georgia football goes. Georgia is good at being good.
Yes.
And has been good at being good. Just got to figure out a way now to be great. And I agree with what Bill's saying is, you got to have the players. I mean, that's not the only thing, but you got to have the players, and that's what Kirby has been able to do. Now, there's a lot of other factors. We don't want to – well, we're basically out of time here, but you know, talking about coaching and facilities and everything else. But if you don't have the players, it's really, really tough. But that's the good thing. Georgia will have the players. Maybe, you know, when you get a little bit lean at certain positions, that can hurt you. But if you just keep consistently recruiting every position and putting really good players there, you're gonna be knocking on the door.
So you're saying even Saban couldn't win with Tech's players? That's what I got out of
that. That would be tough.
That's tough.
You are correct, sir. Well, and let me say this real quick. I used to say when I was lobbying for there to be a change a few years ago, look, there's a difference between good and great. Y'all remember me, David. You remember me saying that several times, and there is, and there's also a difference between very good and great, and I think we're very good right now. This program's very good, and it's got great elite is Clemson and Alabama and LSU perhaps this year, and a lot of things. You know, look, what hurt us and was almost cruel was 2 years ago. I mean that was a great team, and that was, you know, I remember some friends of mine, and they weren't being funny. They were like, you know, I've waited all these years, and they're older, a little bit older than I am, and they're like, I hope that's not the closest we're going to get to a national championship before I expire on this mortal coil here. And it was close, and my God, you can't get any closer. And that was rough, and we want to get back there, but you've got to. That was a great team 2 years ago. There, you know, we had great players. We had elite players. NFL leaders right now, for crying out loud, and that's what you have to have. And you know, I keep on reminding myself this, guys. Dabo didn't do what he's doing right now overnight either.
That's right.
It took him some time to, number one, get up there and lose and then turn around and win to become what Clemson's become. And we'll find out on Saturday, you know, where they are this year, of course. But it did not happen overnight for him. And I think they're there now. I mean, you know, whether they win or lose on Saturday night, there's no doubt where Clemson is as a program in this sport. And they solidified that with the class they put together, which is the best class he's ever had, for crying out loud. He hadn't had top three classes every year like Alabama has. He's had more like, you know, 6 to 12 classes, for crying out loud, which tells him he's had good coaching. But he's there, and that's where Georgia wants to get, and they're still climbing, and Kirby knows that, and Kirby knows where he's expected to get, and we have to hope and continue to trust that that's where he's going to get them.
Bill, you're the man. Thank you very much. Glad you had a great Christmas. And look forward to all your takes in 2020.
All right, guys. Have a great new year. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you, Bill.
Bill Shanks, the one and only.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.